So good to have these scriptures just washed over us. I feel like after listening to that again, we could just sit with those words all morning. We would be in good shape for another week. So beautiful. Well, there's some emotions, and I'd like to start with the kids helping me, or those that want to help the kids help me. There's some emotion in this chapter. And so I want to hear about some things that made you feel different ways this week. All right? Are you ready? Can anybody tell me one thing that made you laugh this week? Anybody? Anything that made you laugh? Any of the kids laugh this week? Any of the adults laugh this week? Well, there you go. The sermon. You could say that now. Anything else this week that made you laugh? Nothing. Oh, yeah, Caleb. Hannah made you laugh. Yes, babies are good at making us laugh and feel other things at times. What about anything that made you scared this week? Anything that made you scared? Colin, what made you scared? Your sister scared you. Oh, man, yeah, sisters are known to do that sometimes. What about something that made... Oh, Elle, you got a scary one? Or what about this one? Anything that made you scared? Excited. Really excited. Anybody got anything that made you really excited this week? Wasn't an exciting week. It was boring. All right, we'll give you another chance, Ella. Watching Noah's Ark made you scared? Scared. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Noah's Ark. In the flood game, yeah, I was scared. I bet Noah was pretty scared, too. What about in our scripture that Krista read, she said somebody is crying. Said they cried and cried. My Bible says wept and wept. Just really, really cried. Not like scun your knee cried, but really, really cried. Anything that made you cry this week? Anybody have anything that made you cry? That's harder to talk about sometimes, isn't it? Well, in this passage, we got somebody crying. He's crying and crying. Why is he crying? This incredible picture, our picture from chapter 4 of incredible power and glory and things that John can't even describe to us. He's trying his best to describe it with what we know, and it just doesn't quite get there. That picture, now we shift. And John says, I saw in heaven the one, that great one on the throne had a scroll, but there was a problem. Now, we know in John's time, scrolls were just like books for us, except they were paper. You've probably seen pictures of scrolls that were rolled up, and usually that's what they used to write and communicate with. And the seal, especially, they would seal it so they knew whose words were in there. It's like now we sign our names. Back then, they sealed it with a certain mark that showed you this person is the one who wrote that. And especially for rulers and those in authority, it carried their authority so their will, what they wanted and what they commanded would be done. So here's John in heaven with this great one on the throne, and he sees the scroll and he knows that that is the plan, the good, perfect, wonderful plan of God for the earth. But there's no one to open it. It's right there. He's holding it. If that could be unleashed, then we would know this one who sits on the throne, everything he wants to do would be done. But there it sits, and no one is found. And somehow, John picks up as a person on the incredible sadness and despair and hopelessness that all of heaven is feeling at that moment. There it is. The plan is right there. But nobody can. can open it. So he weeps and he weeps and he weeps. Have you ever felt like that? Hopeless and helpless. And you know the answer is right there. Just can't get it. I don't know if that's a symbolism of how the Old Testament was. When they were trying to follow God, trying to get there, but they only ever got around the edges. Hebrews tells us they just had a shadow. They never had the real thing that God wanted them to have. And God let them sit in that time for so long. Hopeless, helpless, always with the promise, but always feeling like they were never quite there. But we also, in this world, we weep, right? We weep because we lost a loved one. We weep because we lost a loved thing. We weep because we didn't meet our goal or because things didn't work out the way we wanted to. We weep. It's part of our experience on the earth, and certainly there's nothing inherently wrong with that or any way to get away from that. And the good news is that God is here and he weeps with us. One of the great truths of the Revelation chapter 1 is Jesus is among the lampstands. And the lampstands are the churches. And Jesus is right there among them. He's with them. That means he's with us. He's right here. Right among us. Because Jesus is here, there is always, always, always hope. So we weep. And God weeps with us. But remember our invitation from last week, that great invitation. Remember that, right? Come up here. Come up here. See a little bit from God's perspective. Not because our perspective isn't real or because it doesn't matter. Certainly it does. But our perspective is not the only one. There's another perspective, a higher perspective, a more all-inclusive perspective that as we walk with God and we allow his spirit to enlarge our hearts, we get to experience all that we are experiencing here on earth, knowing it is not the only perspective. There is a whole nother perspective. And so today the invitation from the angel to John is to look! John's covered in his own grief. And the angel comes over and taps him on the shoulder. Hey, don't weep. Look, the lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. And maybe God comes to us this week in all of our weeping and confusion for whatever that is. He says, hey, don't weep. Look. Lion of the tribe of Judah has conquered. What an incredible invitation. And that is the eternal proclamation from heaven. Do not weep. Not that we don't weep here on the earth in our circumstances, but that there is a greater reality. That's verse 5, and then we go into verse 6, and we see this heavenly drama unfold before us as John looks for the lion of the tribe of Judah, and all he sees is the lamb that was slain, standing in the middle of the throne. And God says, this is the one. He is worthy. He walks over to the one on the throne, takes the scroll, opens the seals. And the elders fall down and worship before the lamb. I'm reading from verse 8. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And as they watched the Lamb, again, that intense hopelessness, the intense longing for the answer that couldn't be reached, and now it is being reached, they break out into this incredible song. Verses 9 and 10. You are worthy, as Tim led us in, to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. so much truth about who God is and what he is up to in the world in these two simple verses. And these verses make chapter 5 in many ways even more amazing than the wonder of what we saw in chapter 4. These verses tell us, why is the Lamb worthy? Why is he more worthy than every other being in the universe? It tells us very simply, you are worthy to take the scroll because you were slain. And so we're reminded, what is greatness in God's kingdom? It's the ability to lay our lives down in love for others. We know that, right? But it's easy to forget. For all eternity, we will be worshiping the one who gave the most in love for others. And that picture will forever be our goal of what we are being shaped into through all of eternity. You are worthy because you were slain. This incredible God of power and unapproachable light that we saw last week comes and he lays that down. And lets himself be killed by people he created. His greatness and power would be enough for us to worship him for all eternity. But here in verse 5 we see, not only is he great and powerful, but he is also ready to lay himself down. For what? What would be so important that this God of greatness and power would lay himself down? Yeah, for you. For me, for us, for people that he loves and that he chose. But not just so we could be somehow okay or have a nice life. No, it says he was slain and with his blood he purchased us for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation. And he made us to be kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. So God, it seems, is not content to reign by himself. He wants to invite other people, you and me, in fact, in to be part of his family and to reign with him on the earth. Not as God, of course. He's always God and we're always not, but he wants us to be his people. To be so shaped in his image and formed by his spirit that we can be his vessels to bring about his will on the earth. That was his plan from the beginning. You remember Genesis 1, 2, 3, 2? What's the commission he gives to Adam and Eve? Rule the earth and subdue it. Make it look like heaven. Look, I'm going to teach you how to let the life of heaven flow into earth, and I want to bring it through you. That's what he told Adam and Eve in the beginning. That was always his dream. That he would have people on the earth so formed by his image that we would reign on the earth in his place with him. It's like a father or a mother who has a trade, we'll say a farmer. And he teaches his kids how to do everything he does. Now there's some level of satisfaction in doing it yourself, right? A job well done, finishing it. But there's a whole nother level of satisfaction when you've taught somebody else how to do it, and then you sit back and you watch them do it. And I think that's a little bit of what is in God's heart for us. That he wants to so shape us and teach us his ways that he can then, not disconnected from us as our human reality, but with us and among us, flow his purposes through us. There's a lot more we could talk about on that. But that is what that plan and that dream was so important to God that he was ready to lay himself down for it. To buy us back and fill us with his spirit. So that we could be the kind of people that would reign with him. And that's always his desire. Not that we just know the right concepts or believe the right things, though those are so crucial to who we become. But God's project is always making us a certain kind of person. Making us the kind of people that he can fill with his spirit, that are surrendered to him so that we can be his vessels on earth. Those are the kind of people he's calling us to be. And that's why worship is so important. Because as has often been said, we become like what we worship. What we admire, what we fill our minds with, what we fill our thoughts with, what we give our attention to, and what we surrender to, all of that stuff is not just a decision, but it's a decision that actually forms us in specific ways and makes us specific kinds of people. And when we bow down before the Lamb who was slain, when we give him our adoration, when we give him our thoughts, when we give him our focus, it actually makes us a certain kind of person that reflects that which we are worshiping. And that was God's plan from the beginning. That is his heart. And that is what he's calling us to be. And that is why we want to continue, especially in times where anxiety is high and confusion is deep, to come back to that place. This is the kind of person God has invited me to be. This is the kind of person God is forming me to be. And this is how I get there. Continue to offer myself in worship to this Lamb that was slain. And as the elders, those representing probably the church on the earth, proclaim this song, all of heaven is amazed. And we see all these angels. It says thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 in a sea. I don't know if you've ever seen people like a sea. But it says they encircled the throne and the elders, and in a loud voice, they joined in the song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then the great verse 13, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor, power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. Because there was nothing else to do. When we answer God's call to come up here or to look, our response is always the same. We continue to see everything that happens, the elders fall down and worship. That's the last thing that always happens. The elders fall down and worship, and everybody says amen. Because there's nothing else to do. And one way that we know that our hearts are fixed on heaven is the level of worship that's in our lives at any given point. Because as we get focused on the things of earth, which again are not bad necessarily, but when they become our consuming focus, our level of worship goes down. Because we're trying to figure it out and control it and manipulate it and figure out what we need to do and how we need to be and all those questions need to be answered at some level. But when we lift our eyes to heaven, those questions become much smaller. And we see, oh, this is the core of reality. And our response is the same as the elders. We fall down and we worship. So that's my invitation to you again this morning. What is our level of worship these days? And how is God inviting you to come up here? What are the practices, the places, the activities, the people, the songs, the walks, the sights and thoughts that help us to come up here? That help us to look. The Lamb has triumphed. What are those for you, and how can you foster those things more these days so that we don't get sucked into the whirlpool of the chaos around us? But our hearts, we continually call our hearts, just like we saw in Psalm David saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He probably wasn't feeling too great at that moment. That's why he had to say it. Come on! Find those places. Call us into worship so that we can see from his perspective and we don't forget the glory and the love that he bestows on us. Tim's going to come. We're going to lead that song one more time, "Is He Worthy?" We're just going to let that, just invite you to let that song, these words flow over us. Joining with the angels, the elders, the church all around the world today again, throughout all of history, and every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, declaring, yes, he is worthy. So Lord, would you lift our eyes, even as we sing this song again this morning, as we are in this place again this morning, we ask that your Spirit would release the same invitation that you released to John to come up here, to look. And just like you did for the Apostle John, God, would you open our eyes so we can see afresh the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. And to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be all glory and honor, power. Lead us into worship, Holy Spirit, we pray.